Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, yeah, Sunday was a big day, the Super Bowl and everything. That was cool. And it was cool that many of the Eagles players, including Foles and Wentz and a bunch of the other guys, God's been doing some pretty awesome stuff in the Eagles organization. A lot of revival going on there, baptizing guys in pools at the hotels while they're on the road. So that's really cool. But I think the coolest thing about Sunday, and then it was followed up quickly on Monday morning, no, wasn't the massive drop in the stock market. And the stock market was turning it around when I looked about an hour ago. I think the coolest thing, and that's why I'm so glad that Andy Irwin is here today, co-director, he and his brother, John, of course, I can only imagine opening nationwide March 16th. Do you know where I'm going with this yet?
No, I don't. The Eagles and the stock market.
Right, market and good things going on. But there was the best thing, I think, that happened on Sunday and then followed up on Monday morning was the brand new trailer. The only trailer we've seen is released for the Han Solo movie.
I've got mixed feelings on that one.
We're in the mixed feelings land.
I'm mixed feelings. I don't know. I loved everything about it, except I'm not quite a fan of the casting of Han Solo. I thought that Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, I want to see more of.
Oh,
I think he's incredible.
Incredible talent.
But, you know, I don't know. I got kind of a feeling. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've got a very bad feeling about
this. But what do I
know?
I mean, it's Lucasfilm. They'll fix it.
Yeah, they'll take care of it, and they'll figure out a way to eke $600 or $700 or $800 million out of it. So we don't have to worry about it too much. But, Andy, it's great to have you back. You were here not that long ago.
Yeah,
it seemed like just a few weeks.
I'm applying for a sidekick position here. I want to be a co-host like every other month.
That would be so cool. I'd be happy to do it. And people are just going to – so Andy and John are both Star Wars geeks. They're albeit younger Star Wars geeks. Were you even alive in 1977?
I was alive the next year, so I came in with the a wave of the Force.
Okay, so you came in just slightly after that. So yeah. I was 11 when the first one came out.
Dang. How do you keep your hair not from going completely gray, man? That's great.
It's just the hand of God, bro.
I thought we were the same age.
Blessed and highly favored. No, I'll be 52 this month.
Dang, dude.
Are you shocked?
I am. I am completely shocked.
A good play. That's a good play of that information that I just shared with
Love
you.
Love it.
So those guys are major Star Wars geeks and so on. So we spent a lot of time last time we were together talking about The Force Awakens and the ups and downs of that. That's why I had to divert and go there. But I can only imagine, of course, the true story behind the song that we all know by Mercy Me. Incredible story about Bart and his father, Bart Millard and his father. Is it Millard or Millard?
It's Millard, yeah.
Let's just clear that up, because you hear that all the time.
Across the board. That was the first question I asked Bart when we became friends. It's like, how do you say your last name?
What's the deal with your last
name?
So that's opening up nationwide on March 16th. And we are doing a screening tonight. We've got a lot of pastors coming. And then I opened it up to some friends of Call to Action and some listeners and some of our supporters. So we've got a great crowd coming tonight. But here, we've got a few more seats that we can squeeze some folks in. So if you don't mind, Andy, I'm going to grab some more listeners here that'll come join us tonight. So if you guys want to call in, if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, we're at RFA Church, which is where we're broadcasting from today. But if you want to come tonight as a date night, we would love for you to come out and check this out on one condition and one condition only. Well, actually two. I don't have enough popcorn and candy for like everybody to pig out. So you got to show some restraint if you come tonight. And then number two, and I know this isn't going to be difficult for you if you're here tonight and you experience, I can only imagine, you got to tell people, you got to get online, you got to get on Facebook, you got to get on Twitter, you got to get in your Sunday school class and let people know. And why that's important, we'll talk to Andy today. But we're going to spend this hour talking about it. But if you want to join us tonight for a little date night for you and your spouse, your honey, then I would love to bless you that way, and you can come join us at 7 o'clock. So all I need for you to do is a couple things. Call in, 866-348-7884 is the number, 866-34-TRUTH, and then just give my brother from another mother, Kim, will answer the phone. Give him your name and your email address, and I'll shoot you the details when I get off the air, and then you can join us tonight. But it's tonight here at RFA Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, 7 p.m. Come join us for this advanced screening of I Can Only Imagine. You guys are just all over the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
we are.
That's just just part of the deal, isn't it?
Yeah, at this point, you just kind of lose complete touch with reality and just kind of, you know, move to the next thing. And it's exciting. It's the roller coaster. You know, at this point, you're not in control of the train. It just kind of does what it wants. So,
and how are you feeling? I mean, this is, you know, October Baby and then Mom's Night Out. And then, of course, Woodlawn, of course, the Steve McQueen documentary last fall. And then I Can Only Imagine. Is this one lining up differently than the other ones? I mean, there's all the weight behind the song, obviously.
Yeah. You know, with this one, there's just something really special about Bart's story that's just so relatable. And then people have such a love for the song that when we first sat down with Bart, we said, what does the song deliver? Because the movie has to deliver the same thing in droves.
Right.
And he said, it's a rush of hope. And so that was our destination. And so we made a movie that was geared around that. And, you know, there's so much of making a film that you're not in control of. And then when somehow you, but you know, just by the grace of God, capture magic in a bottle, you really appreciate it. And so we've never had a film at this point kind of market itself. And just being able to show the film to people is just, it's a joy. We're just kind of sitting back eating popcorn and enjoying it too.
and obviously on social media, like how many times has the trailer been viewed on Facebook?
The first teaser has been viewed, I think, right at 43 million.
Wow.
And then the second one, we didn't expect to do nearly as much numbers, and it's creeping up to, it released right after the first of the year, it's up to like close to 20.
Wow, amazing.
So, yeah.
Just crazy to see this happening. And this is an arena. We're going to unpack a bunch of things as we go through the show today. And by the way, if you're here in the Raleigh area and want to join us tonight for this advanced screening, we have a few seats left that I'd love to include you and your spouse. So give us a call. Or if you have a significant other, I guess I'll lower the bar a little bit. That's okay. You don't have to be married. We'll leave that alone. But if you have somebody special you want to bring or somebody maybe that's just hurting or needs a message of hope, they will definitely get it from I Can Only Imagine. So give us a call. We'll give away several seats here during the hour on the show. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And you said that, what Bart said about hope. There's a lot of different themes in this movie, it seems to me.
Yeah, it's got, and you know, there's a lot of entry points is what we call it. There's a lot of just human entry points. And I think, you know, it's Bart's story with his father, the abusive story, you know, abusive relationship with his father. Dennis Quaid absolutely plays an amazing role in it, and just plays this character that you hate at the beginning and you root for by the end. But it's a lot of entry points for people that enjoy a good love story. There's a lot of a lot of cool stuff.
Chasing your dreams,
yeah, man.
Reconciliation in general, broken relationships with fathers especially. There is a lot of hope, a great message, a great movie. I Can Only Imagine opening nationwide March 16th. That's 3/16, which hopefully sounds familiar to you. But when we come back, I'll ask Andy some more about Dennis Quaid and how he got involved in the movie and when. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. I'm here with my buddy Andy Irwin, who's one of the co-directors. Well, there's only two. Isn't there only two directors, you and your brother? Isn't that basically the deal?
We're the brothers.
The brothers, the Irwin brothers. So going all the way back, first big film was October Baby. That's when I first found out about you guys and watched that film. And then I somehow got a hold of either you or John, and you guys were on separately on the show. And I had a couple of the two ladies that were in that movie.
Sherry Rigby and Rachel Hendricks.
And I interviewed them first, and then we did that. And then my wife will be here tonight. And by the way, if you want to join us tonight for this advanced screening, if you're here in Raleigh-Durham, we still have a few more seats we can give away. I've got a bunch of calls there in the first segment. But would love to include you tonight and be a good opportunity to have a little date night with your hubby or your wife. But give us a call. 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number, and we just need your name and your email address. 866-34-TRUTH. You can join us here tonight. But I need your name and I need your email address or you're not getting in. So make sure you do that. 866-34-TRUTH. We're here at RFA Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'll send you the address and everything that you need. But tonight at 7 o'clock. But then my wife and I went on a marriage cruise. And then there you were, because you were premiering, you were doing an advanced showing of Mom's Night Out.
Yep.
And remember, the sound was all wonky and all kinds of crazy
stuff. That was stressful. It was like so they had a computer that had the file on it to show it, and somehow the tech guy took his shore leave the day it was going to show and took the computer with him.
Oh.
So So we were trying to track down this guy somewhere in the Bahamas, and yeah, I had blocked that out of my mind until you reminded me.
Thank you. So you're welcome. And the other thing about that trip, which was funny, I have never. I think this is as closest as I'll ever get to the pain of childbirth.
Yeah, yeah.
I got some kind of virus. I was in Florida at the Council for National Policy, and I met Gina in Miami. And that day, I'm like, there's something wrong with my back. By the middle of the night, I was in so much. I ended up getting shots every morning on the ship.
Oh, wow.
In my rear end. Because I couldn't. They gave me Valium that first night. They gave me everything. I didn't sleep a wink. I couldn't move. I was in unbelievable pain. And so every day they'd shoot me up. And then I would be okay till about. Well, right about the time the movie was playing.
Wow.
So by that point.
I thought you were overenthusiastic that night.
I can't move. It was crazy. So I'm glad that trip was over. But anyway, it's been great to get to know you guys. And so October Baby, and then, of course, Mom's Night Out, and then Woodlawn, and then the Steve McQueen movie with Greg Laurie, and then I Can Only Imagine. Is the movie business what you were expecting it to be?
It never is. You know, The headlines and the red carpet and all that type of stuff, once you get into it, you realize that's just a sales pitch. It's not real. it's for the movies. And you know, what keeps you in this business is the fact that you're just passionate about telling stories, and there's a story that you feel like you somehow it moves your soul, and you're not okay letting go of it until you show it to move others. And so I think it's only the passion for the stories that keeps you going. So I love what I do. It's a blast, but it's definitely a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get the pro. No movie really kind of wants to be made. You just kind of have to keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the stories is what motivates me. It gets me up in the morning, and then the opportunity for the gospel.
And then what about just the world of Christian cinema? Because there's the movies in general, which are massive, obviously, in Hollywood and all that stuff. But the world of Christian cinema, which I think a lot of us have struggled over the years. I certainly have. And because a lot of Christian movies are, you know, hey, A for effort.
Yeah.
A for some good messaging. But the quality isn't exactly there. So we kind of are a little hesitant to kind of get in there and bring people out because we're like, it's going to be a B movie.
Yeah.
So how did you guys kind of work through that? Because your movies are beautifully shot, I really think they're you know, several steps ahead of what we're used to now.
Well, I mean, I would say that as Christians, we had a lot of catching up to do. I think for years we abdicated the space and by saying that the movie theater was evil rather than embracing it as an opportunity for the gospel. And it's an opportunity to preach the gospel. We can use it for what we need. And, you know, I think as Christians have embraced the medium, the craft has been going steadily up. And I think it's a legitimate genre now that, similar to other franchises, whether it be the horror movie franchise or the superhero movie franchise, it's a genre that's finding its voice and really proving to mainstream that, hey, there's a legitimate audience here. But I think it's not just us. I think that you look at other films like what John Gunn did with Case for Christ and what the Kendricks did with War Room, and you see that I think there's a group of us, Devon Franklin with Miracles from Heaven, there's a group of us that are kind of pushing each other forward.
Yeah.
And I watched a documentary on Steven Spielberg on the plane, and it talked about the group of them that used to get together with Spielberg and Scorsese and Brian De Palma and Francis Ford Coppola, and they would just kind of really kind of privately critique each other's work to try to make it better. But in the process, they were competitive and they push each other forward. They'd encourage each other. And talks about Brian De Palma coming up with the idea for the scrolling text at the beginning. Cause he's like, George, I don't know what the heck I'm looking at right now with this scrolling text. And I mean, without the scrolling text, I need some context for the Star Wars movie. And you look at these guys that made each other better at their craft. And I think as Christians, there's a group of us and one of the values that John and I aspire to is that quality is something that we continually chase. It's not something we ever really can sit back and say we've attained.
Yeah.
Because you can always get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's incumbent upon us as followers of Christ.
Yeah.
To work with excellence.
Exactly. And I think that we're learning to earn the right to be heard. And I think as a result, I think the stories are getting more and more powerful. And I think the genre is getting more and more powerful. And so I'm proud to be a Christian and to be in entertainment and to be working in the faith genre.
Yeah.
I think it's a opportunity for the gospel to watch that we've never seen.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that before we're done with the show today. But I want to circle back around. I asked about the Dennis Quaid aspect of all of this. So how did Dennis Quaid come in? When did he come in? And what was that like to work with an industry veteran like that?
Yeah, you know, anytime you get to work with somebody with that kind of reputation, whether it's Dennis or John Voight and Woodlawn, it's a treat for a director. Because, I mean, you feel like I felt like the, you know, kind of the fat kid at the buffet. I was just sitting there going, "Oh my goodness, I want more of this and more of that, more of that." So, you getting to see something like that. But I think, you know, with Dennis, that role, we had been pursuing another actor that at the last minute decided to move on to another project, and then the other three that we were looking at in our top five were booked doing other things. They weren't available, and so. Dennis was in our top five, and he was one of the. So we're all looking at these names, but we're trying to work with getting him on board. So we had to kind of, you have to play a little bit of chicken when it's an independent film, and you have to go ahead and start the train moving forward, hoping that the right person's going to jump on. And I was panicked, and I talked to Stephen Kendrick, and he encouraged me and said, he said, "Andy, embrace closed doors. God won't let you miss the right person."
Wow.
And so we just kind of released it to the Lord, said, "God, it's your problem." And we were a week away from having to start filming his scenes and not knowing who this guy was going to be. And next thing you know, Dennis fell in love with the part, and he called and said, "I'm in. I'm totally in." And then next thing you know, we're filming with him in character, and he just gave a performance that I think is unique to his body of work.
Yeah.
It's really a... raw performance that people are going to love.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. I was there for part of the filming and got to watch him work, and it's amazing what he brings to the film. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about the role of these films in terms of getting the gospel out, not just here in America, but around the world. There's a lot more to talk about with Andy Irwin today here on Call to Action Radio. Again, if you want to join us tonight, we've got a few more spots we can give out. 866-34-TRUTH here in Raleigh at 7 p.m. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. We are sitting here at Raleigh First Assembly, RFA Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, with Andy Irwin, one of the directors of, I can only imagine, he and his brother John, the Irwin brothers, who you should be pretty familiar with by now, whether you were aware of the Steve McQueen movie, Steve McQueen, American Icon, which came out last fall in conjunction with Greg Laurie and the Harvest Guys, and then Woodlawn before that, and then Mom's Night Out, and then October Baby, and then, of course, I Can Only Imagine, which is the true story behind the song that we all know and love, and it's been amazing what God did with that. When did that song come out? When did I Can Only Imagine?
It was early 2000, 2001. Maybe 1999.
And that's real. And Mercy Me was, they were pretty much nobody at that point, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they were grinders. You know, they lived, the guys lived in Oklahoma City. They lived in a little abandoned daycare.
So that's why you shot in Oklahoma City. I was always wondering what was the deal with that.
They had their roots in Dallas and then in Oklahoma City.
Got it. Cool.
So, but Oklahoma City, they were doing the camp circuit where they do all these Christian camps, and they lived in an abandoned daycare that they actually had to get all the hazmat stuff out of it. And they turned it into a apartment complex for the guys slash recording studio. And it was just really run down and rickety. And then they had this old bus that then they gutted, and they traveled the country in this bus that had
plywood
floors. So those guys, they, you know, would hit the pavement for years and years. And, but people said that when they heard Bart sing, they said, "Well, he's got a great voice, but I don't really believe what he's singing." And he always kind of held this back about, you know, the story about his dad, and kind of avoided the personal stuff.
Yeah.
And when he finally sat down and started writing about the personal situation with his dad, all of a sudden it's like God took the blinders off and he saw this story right in front of him, which was what his dad was experiencing in heaven, and wrote the song, I Can Only Imagine. It's a beautiful story.
And so you've mentioned this before, because when we see something that says based on a true story, it's not all the details, because does Bart have a younger or older brother?
He has an older brother, yeah.
And he didn't play into the story at all. And so how do you make those decisions in terms of what you include and what you don't?
What we did when we sat down with Bart is we said, doing a movie of your life is not doing a photograph. That'd be a documentary. Doing a movie of your life is doing a portrait. It's taking everything that's happened in your life. And my goal is the audience needs to feel everything you felt over the course of a life emotionally in 2 hours.
Wow.
And so I've got to take them from point A to point B to run. So it's emotionally a linear timeline of this is what it felt like to be me from this to this.
Wow.
But we said we need to know you well enough to do an accurate portrait. And so everything that happens in the movie happened at some point in Bart's life. We just had to rearrange the details in the right order to get the emotional timeline in sync.
Yeah, got it.
So
interesting.
So Bart went with that and really understood it. He was on set a good portion of the time, making sure that the way we portrayed it was accurate to his story. Anytime we had to bend history into a timeline, we made sure that it was rooted in reality. So the plate smash on his head, all that stuff happened. It just happened in a certain
sequence. Right, right. Yeah. So. That makes perfect sense. So back to Dennis Quaid. What's it like to work with somebody that's got that much experience? Because it was wild to watch him.
Yeah.
You know, he's walking around, he's doing his thing, but all of a sudden when it's time to shoot, he was totally in the zone, and now you're watching a pro.
Yeah, Dennis is intense. And so I think, you know, for me as a director, anytime we start, working with a veteran actor, with any actor, you try to figure out what makes this person tick and what's their process. And there's not an exact process for any actor. But my goal is to try to give them an environment where they feel safe and they know that they're going to be treated well. And so that first day that they're on set, they're always worried about who's this young director and what's the relationship going to be like and are they going to let me do my thing. And so it's like an awkward first date. And so the end of that awkward first day, Dennis came to me. He's like, what'd you think? And I said, well, Dennis, I think you're hitting all the right notes. I think it's incredible. I just think, could you give me less? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's great. Could you rein me in? I want to make sure I don't go too far. And I said, well, we both agreed that the best emotion was suppressed emotion. Uh-huh. So he bottled throughout the whole story. He bottled the emotion up like he was trying to let it not escape. And so when it came to that moment where the emotion's all boiling over, he looked like he was about to explode. Yeah, it was incredible to watch. And there's a really key scene at the breakfast table that was one of the things I've been most proud of in my entire career, just to sit there behind the monitor and watch it and eat popcorn. It was awesome.
You were sitting there behind the monitor, and I was sitting there behind you.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was just sitting there going, holy cow, because he just took it to another gear.
Yeah, it just sat there. I felt like I was in the movie theater.
Yeah.
And this was just like, you could tell it was one of the most pivotal scenes in the movie.
Yep.
And you just get lost in it. It was so cool to watch.
I was
watch.
Just sucked in. In fact, I forgot to call cut a couple of times because I was just watching it. Like, that was incredible. And and then they turned around the camera to John Michael, and John Michael responded and rose to the occasion and took his to another level. And I was like, this is legitimately just an amazing scene to watch.
What was Dennis Quaid's reaction to the movie once he saw it finished?
Yeah, when he saw it, I showed it to him at his house, and I turned around and said, he was sitting with his 2 9-year-olds, they're 10 now, twins, and I said, what'd you think? And I turned around, and he was ugly crying. It was like crocodile tears.
Wow.
And he's like, that was powerful. He couldn't talk, hugged me 2 or 3 times, but called Bart and said, it's a story. He said, I had a conversation with my kids about heaven and about God afterwards. And he said it's a story about how God does his miracles the hard way sometimes.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm totally in with this movie. And so as a result, he's getting out in front of it, helping us promote it, and doing a lot of stuff that's
awesome.
Extra. And so we all have a really good feeling about this.
Well, how do you handle that? Because so many people have asked me, hey, is Dennis Quaid a believer? And I'm like, I don't know. But how do you handle that? And you got a big-name person come in.
Yeah.
They're important in the movie. It's a paid relationship. But obviously, you guys are all about the gospel. How do you guys kind of navigate those waters?
You know, I don't know that I'm an expert on it. I think for us, I think that God calls some to water the seed, some to plant seeds, some to water the seeds, some to harvest.
Right.
So it's what part of the journey has God got you? And sometimes he lobs you a softball of somebody that's ready to be harvested. Sometimes it's just playing your part in the journey to water it. And sometimes you don't know where they're at.
Right.
So whether it's, there's been a lot of actors that have come along that we've just gotten to play, I think, a piece of their journey to encourage them that the Lord loves them. And we're very outspoken that if you're going to be on your set, you're going to be loved by us, and you're going to know that Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And we accept you where you're at. And so we have control of the content, and that's what we're passionate about.
Right.
But you don't have to share our beliefs to be on our set.
Right. And, which I think is awesome. I mean, if we were going to play it that way, Jesus never would have hung out with anybody.
You know, one of my favorite performances in a faith film recently was in Case for Christ. Erica Christensen played Lee Strobel's wife. And watching that movie, she just broke my heart.
She was incredible.
I just was like, what a beautiful performance of a Christian trying to win her husband to Christ by just loving him. And I just, it moved me profoundly. And she's a Scientologist.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
But she really embraced the role, and John Gunn directed her in a beautiful way. And I think as a result, maybe, plant some seeds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the same time, get a great actor and a great role. So I don't know where people stand.
Yeah.
I don't try to nail them to the wall. I do try to encourage them towards the good news of the gospel.
Yeah, tell us about John Michael. I had a chance to, and I'll play his interview in the next couple of weeks, but yeah. I spent almost an hour there just talking to him. And this is the young guy that, you know, he's on Broadway. He was the backup guy for Jean Valjean and Les Mis, an incredible talent. The world kind of starting to open up to him. But he's like a lot of young people and grew up in the church, had some questions. You know, I've let God down some. And we just had a great conversation, and I was just thankful to the Lord. But he's a phenomenal talent. And uh-huh. It's got to be interesting for him to go from the stage on Broadway to a movie. That's got to be oil and water, I guess.
You know, because of who Bart was, we were really, really specific on who we wanted to cast in the role. Somebody had to do their own singing, and somebody had this blue-collar lovableness. And so John Michael, the way I describe him, it's like if you cross the DNA of Seth Rogen, it has that kind of angry streak, but with the lovableness of Kevin James, and then you would get John Michael. And so I think this kid's going to be, like, a special talent. I think he's going to blow up. But he does all his own singing in the movie, and it's great, and we found him on Broadway. He's never been in a film before. But he had that part that you can't teach that it crossed over really well. But, you know, when we cast him, he grew up in the church. His dad's a pastor or associate pastor at a church in Missouri, and he grew up going to camps, listening to Mercy Me at camps, and, you know, and he's on his own journey of trying to figure out what his own personal beliefs are. You know, and so when we came in, we talked about it, and I said, listen, John, I don't require you to believe this story, but I do require us to find somewhere to make this character real. And I said, but I think it's going to hit close to home, and I think it's going to be really good for you.
Yeah.
And so there was times where I could see the wheels turning.
That was obvious.
Really cool.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And that's one of the things I love about you guys and your movie sets, that, hey, you know, you're out there with your faith and with the gospel. Everybody knows what your deal is. But we don't shut the doors. And hey, the rougher the crew, the better.
Yeah.
Jesus is like, hey, bring me the really messed up people, not the clean people.
With Brent McCorkle, our writing partner, I went with him out to Sundance a couple weeks ago. And I went when we were out there, and I'd never been before, and it's definitely kind of outside my sphere of influence, but I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's cool. I have a friend that's a great supporter of this radio show that lives here in Raleigh. She went out to, she goes every year, and she goes with this Christian group that kind of goes
there.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. So we'll talk about that and a few more tidbits about the movie. I can only imagine the true story behind the song about Bart Millard and his dad. It's a story of hope, and it's a story of reconciliation, parental challenges, and chasing your dreams. So much to be thankful for in this movie, which opens March 16th. We'll be right back.
Let's try it all together. One, two.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you guys all across the Fruited Plain. And March 16th, 316, you should have that one memorized by now. March 16th is the nationwide opening of I Can Only Imagine. It's the next movie by the Irwin Brothers. And the true story behind the song that we all know and love, Bart Millard and his father. And Bart always talks about this from the stage now. He didn't for years, but last year he was at the National Prayer Breakfast. Were you guys there for that?
John and Kevin were there. I didn't get a chance.
So the National Prayer Breakfast, and they sang I Can Only Imagine. I remember Bart, I was watching it. There was a Facebook Live of it or something. And I remember watching it, and Bart was just kind of had that big smile on his face. And he's like, man, if God can turn that monster into my best friend, he can get to anybody. It's been such a great platform, just wild to watch how God is used. Because that song crossed over too, right?
Yeah, it did. It did. And it couldn't happen to a better person. Bart, since we've, you know, signed on to the film, you know, has become one of my dearest friends. We don't do contracts up front. We always do handshakes with people, yeah. And we go watch a movie. So that's kind of like
that's my style. I like that.
That's the sacred. Of course, there's contracts that follow, but you know.
All right. Well, all right. Hold on a second.
We haven't seen a movie together.
I have to clear. No, we haven't seen a movie together.
Yes.
So we got to deal with that. But when you go to a movie with another guy, Do you have a guy seat in between you, or do you sit together?
Yeah, technically, yeah. Yeah. But I'm the type that I'm comfortable. I'm not scared to sit, like,
right next to
throw it up. But
is it even more awkward now because we have the recliners and now it's like you're sitting?
No, that's like a person – because I'm all about, like, that feels like you're sitting in first class. It's like, it's personal space.
Or
as
I'm at home.
Personal space, I'm fine. I just like having some space. I don't like being all – okay, the most awkward thing – was I took so we always go to things together, and so I took while we were out in L.A. sound mixing, Bart came out to sit on the stage while we were doing it, and so Bart is, you know, his manager Brickle, who's 6'6", Kevin, myself, and then Josh Walsh, one of the producers on the film. Kevin got us all tickets to go see Hamilton in L.A.
Right.
So we all went as a group, and we sat in this theater, and they were extra small seats, especially for big guys.
And
we're all sitting just like sardines next to each other, and it gets to the end of the play where you know, the singer is singing It's Quiet Uptown song about when the sun has died and all this stuff, and like, tears streaming down our face. I'm like, sobbing my head off. I look over, Bart's crying. Everybody's crying. All these guys sitting in a row, way too close, crying. I'm like, yeah, this isn't right.
That would have been a great moment for somebody to snap a little selfie there.
This isn't right. But Bart's absolutely the real deal.
He really is.
And people love him. And so I think it's a big part of the story, and I think what Jay Michael captured in how he played him is you just love him on the screen.
Yeah.
And you're rooting for this kid. So when it gets to the end and he wins – like, the whole theater just wants to stand and cheer.
Phenomenal moment.
It's a cool moment.
And again, I think it's so cool because the backdrop is most of us have this common experience with that song.
Yeah.
And it's touched so many people in so many different ways. And then all of a sudden, it's like you part the curtain and you get to see this whole backdrop behind it, which then takes the song itself to a whole new level. So you knew it in your own reference, your own context, but then all of a sudden you hear it in its original context, and it makes it even more powerful.
Yeah, that was the moment that sold us on doing the movie, because when we had been pitched the story, we kind of sat on it for a while, and we're like, is this really what we want to do next? And then we were doing a morning show, radio show down in Tampa while we were promoting Woodlawn, and the host asked us off the air, what are you looking at next? And we said, we're looking at Bart's story, Bart Millard of Mercy Me. And he said, oh, my goodness, I was at the Ryman that night when Amy Grant pulled him up on stage.
Wow.
And I'm like,
spoiler alert, by the way,
I don't know about this. And he says, the most magic thing I've ever seen in music. And so I called Bart. I'm like, did this happen? And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you all about that. Like, you forgot?
You forgot?
How is this not in the script? So at that point, we knew that we had
hilarious.
A movie.
Tonight we're doing an advanced screening here in Raleigh. So if you're in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area listening to me on the Truth Radio Network, you can join us tonight. I'll make a few more seats available, but you got to give me a call before 5 o'clock. We're running out of time. 866-348-7884 is the number to use it as a date night. Hint, hint, nod, nod, wink, wink. Just trying to help you out. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And now, how did you guys get the script in the first place? This is another great story because Sony had it before, didn't they?
Yeah, so they had been developing it for years, and they had kind of a different vision for it. But they, they had talked to us about it, and, I tried to we were promoting Mom's Night Out, and so I was trying to do these music artist screenings to get people to promote the movie. And so we did music videos for years, so we knew we were connected with most of them. And so, but it's hard to kind of nail everybody down at one time together. And so I would get one artist to commit, and then I would tell everybody that that artist was hosting a screening for us, and then everybody showed up. So, so there's a screening to this day that Michael W. Smith hosted, and Smitty doesn't know that he hosted, but thank you, Smitty. I appreciate it. But I invited Bart just on Facebook, just like, hey, I know we've never really hung out, but we run in the same circles, and would you want to come see my movie tonight? And he came, and at the end, he came down to the front to talk, and he said, I don't know if you know this, but they've been developing my life story for years, and I'd love for you guys to consider directing. And I said, well, I don't know if you know this, but they sent us the script this morning.
Wow, amazing.
And I was like, what are you doing tonight? He's like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I was going to watch Captain America. He's like, I watch Captain America. So we went to a midnight screening of Captain America, and that kind of sealed the deal. And as we unpacked more and more of the story, it was even better than what had, you know, was there, and it just unraveled into this amazing story.
And Bart really is the real deal. I think I've told you this story before. I was flying into Dallas last year for a thing with Harvest, and I got in. I think my flight landed at 11:55, And I was down at the baggage claim, and then in walks Bart and somebody else with him. And I walked over because I had interviewed him at the thing that you did in Nashville last year and interviewed him at a couple of Harvest Crusades. So and once I remind him, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And so we're having a nice chat. And then this other lady is kind of listening in, and she looks at him funny. She goes, excuse me, sir. And he's like, yes, ma'am. She's like, you look familiar to me. Like, what do you do? And Bart goes, I'm in a band. Uh-huh. She's like, oh, really? Like, what do you do in the band? Well, I sing. Oh, really? Well, what's the name of your band? Would I know it? And he goes, well, Mercy Me. And she's like, ah, I knew it. But it was just so funny to listen to somebody who's so well known, like Bart, just sitting going, well, yeah, I sing in a band.
That's funny.
It was no big deal. But he is. He's such a sincere guy. And he seems to me to be totally unaffected by their fame.
Oh, yeah.
And they have plenty of it.
He's a big kid. You know, he's a lot of fun. He just likes to have fun. You know, in fact, I learned early on that the way to get Bart to go to a business meeting is to make it fun. So I'd always call him and I'd be like, hey, dude, you want to go to the movies with me tonight? I'm in town. He's like, oh, man, I'm up for it. Let's go see this and that and that. I was like, we go to dinner beforehand, and, hey, while we're there, we'll talk a little business. So he finally kind of caught on. He's like, do you know how much I look forward to our business meetings? So when we went to go see Jay Michael on Broadway to decide if we were going to cast him or not, one of our investors allowed us to use their private jet to go up there, which is not normal for us.
Everybody's going, that figures.
Yeah, yeah. So 7-person jet. So I said,
you weren't on a private jet when you flew up here. Southwest or Delta.
I was economy, firmly in economy. But so I called Bart and said, how would you like to go up to New York to go to Broadway to see Jay Michael? I'll have a private jet that picks us up in Nashville. We'll go straight to the airport, go straight to the play, and I'll get you back home in time. Same day, so you can go on tour tomorrow.
I'm waiting for that phone call.
So, yeah, yeah. So, we're on the plane, and we're on the jet, and we're flying somewhere over the East Coast, and I looked over, and Bart's got this glazed-over smile on his face, and I'm like, I may have taken our business meetings to a level that I cannot sustain. I'm like, Bart, this is the pinnacle.
This is it,
it's downhill from
it's
here.
It's all downhill. Yeah, that's so cool. He's such a great guy. Yeah. How has this affected you and John? I mean, you guys are married. You have families. You know, you're just a couple of nice, good old boys from Birmingham, Alabama. Now you're flying all over the place, meeting with, you know, a lot of the big wigs, not just in the Christian world, but the world of media. How has it impacted you guys personally?
You know, I think that we've never had more fun in our job. It's been the hardest 2 years that I can remember. But I think God had really developed an open-handedness to it through Woodlawn and through other things where the challenge was really difficult, that I think it made us appreciate when it starts clicking. And so, you know, I feel like we found our voice with Woodlawn. We found out the kind of stories we want to tell.
Yeah.
And with this one, it's really been kind of just going once more around the block. And I think that we're really secure in that we're not our movies. We make movies. We're passionate about it. We want to make great entertainment that the family can trust. We may make it worth your price of admission, and in the process, preach the gospel to your community. That's really what we're about.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just it's stewardship. Whatever God puts in front of you, just do it to the best of your ability and release the results to God. So I think as a result, we're kind of like I was kind of watching with the Eagles and the Patriots, and like the Eagles had this kind of loose swagger to them where they were having fun.
Yeah.
And it was like,
they're like, wow.
Like, I've never been able to play an athletic event in my life, but I want to play on that team. That looks like fun. And I think as a result, the team, whether it's me and John or Kevin or any of the people that have been influential on the team, I think we're just having fun playing the game right now and just doing our part and showing and sharing the film. And so I think we just feel it feels really lighthearted and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious for the little bit that I get to play with you guys here and there. It's been just cool to watch it all happen from all the way back at October Baby to what's going on today and how God just has expanded how he's using your films and your talent to the Greg Laurie stuff and all of that. And just to be able to be involved at any little level has been just one of the greater joys of my life in the last 10 years since I kind of became an activist and got on the radio. Just people that love the Lord and are using their abilities to go help build the kingdom.
Thanks, dude.
Totally awesome thing to see. Thanks for sharing with all of us.
Appreciate the friendship, man.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here. Back in Raleigh again. I think you'll be off the hook for a while.
Second home right now.
But I think I'll probably see you guys in Dallas, won't I? In June. They'll be there for Harvest. But March 16th, and it's super important. We'll be talking about this as we move towards March 16th. When you go see I Can Only Imagine, You need to put it on your calendar for either March 16, March 17, or March 18. The opening weekend for these movies, especially Christian movies, determines so much over the following week. So when you go and you spend your time and your money investing in that, that allows a window to get bigger down the road so more people can be blessed. That's why we're going to keep bugging you. I'll keep lovingly challenging you to get out on March 16th to see I Can Only Imagine. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.